Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few minutes, hang around, listen up, stay with me. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a lot of education, and no manipulation, no con games, not trying to solicit money, not trying to sell you anything, just to give you some information that will help you orient and adjust to the plan of God for your life. If I could verify and identify the plan, hopefully that's what you'll do, orient and adjust to the plan. But today I'd like to do something a little bit different. We've been broadcasting this show for 15 years now across the United States, and because I want to get this to you as soon as possible. So this show will be heard by podcast listeners before it airs on the radio. Podcast listeners come on some places like Anchor, Spotify, iTunes. All of these are free podcast apps. And you can even hear our current Flatline show and past Flatline shows on these apps. So we're going to put this one out there first. By the way, each one of these shows has a transcript link to it. So be sure to look for that, too, if you want to review what you've heard. And this week on podcasts, we also started adding lessons from the past to give you principles from the Word of God to apply during the time of crisis that we face. So let me remind you that all of the 2019 shows that we did, 52 of them, are now available in print transcriptions in three volumes, Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3. And those are absolutely free. If you'd like to have them, just contact us through the website, rickhughesministries.org. And let me remind you that our book called Life's Toughest Years for Teenagers, those that might be dealing with children in homeschooling, and the application can be for adults as well, dealing with layoffs, health, financial hardships, etc. These may be the toughest years ahead. So, let me just say this so you'll understand. I have a team that works with me. No man's an island to himself. And I have some wonderful people, mature believers, that help me as I put this material together. So please think about them and pray for them. And let me remind you that we have a book called Promises and Principles available. It's free also, dealing with promises found from the Word of God in the event of you need them in your life. Okay, now, here's where we stand. America and the world is in the middle of a health scare, as you well know. And it's not fake news, it's real, it's a pandemic. And we want to study how a crisis personality comes to the top during these times. See, many questions are coming up about how to deal with the virus or how to prevent contracting the disease. No one really knows what the end result is going to be with this, but the real question is not necessarily the virus, but the question is you and me. How do we handle this? What should our attitude be? Because no man is an island to himself, not me, not you. It's very true of me because that's a team of mature believers that helped me in so many areas. Actually, they put together something called a COVID-19 virus kit, which we posted on our website and on the podcast events. And this is simply a group of promises that you can use to calm down during this time and deal with these promises, claiming them in the faith rest drill. These are backed up by God's immutable word and, of course, his loving compassion for you and me. If you live by those 10 problem-solving devices and you exercise the faith rest drill, which is one of those 10, then you will be a believer that has a crisis personality. And you, my friend, will have a national impact as well as an impact in the future during these times of trouble. But remember this, adverse circumstances can cause us to completely lose self-control. And if that happens, people start to question why God even allowed it to happen to our country or to the world to start with. I mean, losing self-control is letting your emotions take over, and it can happen at the death of a loved one or the loss of employment or anything that causes shock and dismay in your life, personally or nationally. You cannot afford to lose self-control and be afraid. So God's problem-solving devices were supplied for you to solve problems in any situation in your life. If you fail to use these promises, it can cause you to completely shut down. So let me remind you of some of those principles that I've taught before. Here's one. Adverse circumstances can cause you to fear death. Adverse circumstances can cause you to fear death. The promised solution is given in the book of Job, where the book of Job talks about in Job 5, 19 through 27, where it said that you will have nothing to fear from a violent death. Now, you and I can claim these Old Testament verses and relax in this situation. So let me give you Job. Right here it is. Let me give you Job 5, 19 through 27. From six disasters, God will deliver you. Furthermore, in seven, no evil will touch you. In depression, which is economic disaster, he will preserve you from death. In battle, from the stroke of the sword. And you will be hidden from the lash of the tongue, and that social disaster from sins of the tongue. And you will not be afraid of death when it comes. You will laugh at death and famine. That means you'll be relaxed. You will have a covenant with the stones of the field. That's the weapons and the ammunition used. And wild animals will be at peace with you. Therefore, you will know that your human body is in peace, for you will visit your home in heaven, and you will not forfeit blessing or reward. And you will know that your seed will be numerous and your descendants like the grass of the earth. And that means perpetuation of a client nation like the United States of America. We are a client nation, and hopefully we will remain a client nation. So they go on to say, you will come to the grave in a full age, like a shock of corn in its season. Behold this doctrine. We've researched it. This is the gist of it. So hear it and apply it to yourself. In six disasters, God will deliver you. Furthermore, in seven, no evil will touch you. This is a wonderful promise that Job got, and it's a promise that you must learn to believe also as well. Nothing can hurt you. Nothing can get to you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not height, nor depth, nor anything can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we have to learn not to fear death, because if you do, Satan will use it to weaken your faith. There is no excuse for any believer ever, ever having to be afraid of dying. And we should never let the enemy scare us about death, regardless of how we die. If we use those three spiritual skills that we have, then it would be a wonderful promotion to be face to face with our loving Heavenly Father. So just remember, fear is an emotional sin that originates when we fail to use these three spiritual skills I'm about to give you. Three of the most important things in your life that you should be able to do. Number one, you should know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's problem-solving devices number one and two. Number one is rebound. When we sin, we confess our sin. When we confess our sin, we are immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible tells us the flesh wars against the spirit wars against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other. So we really can't do the things we'd like to do. Galatians talks about that. So we have a battle. The battle goes on between the genetically formed sin nature that we got from Adam and from the Holy Spirit who indwells us and seals us until the day of redemption. When you sin, you quench the Holy Spirit and you grieve the Holy Spirit. And when you confess that sin, then you're able to get back in fellowship and not have to worry about coming under divine discipline from the Lord. So the filling of the Holy Spirit is the first problem-solving device you need to know. You need to make sure that you are filled with the Holy Spirit all the time, 24/7. When you sin, admit it immediately. Don't wait until you go to bed at night. Do it then. Operation Z is another thing you need to know about, how you learn God's Word. That's doctrinal orientation, sitting under a well-qualified pastor, learning the information and applying the information. We developed a little short term, one of my friends used it a lot, called LAG, L-A-G. Learn it, apply God, and glorify God. Learn, apply, and glorify. And the only way you can do that is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And in this time in your life, it's never been a more important time than to focus on the ministry of a well-qualified pastor who can teach you God's Word so you can develop security and comfort and confidence in God's plan. And lastly, are those 10 problem-solving devices we've been teaching about for 15 years. Beginning with rebound, going to the filling of the Holy Spirit, moving to the faith rest drill, from there to grace orientation, from there to doctrinal orientation, from there to developing a personal sense of destiny, then developing personal love for God, using impersonal love with all of mankind, sharing the happiness of God, and eventually occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the three spiritual skills you must learn and use. The filling of the Holy Spirit, Operation Z, which is you sitting under a well-qualified pastor and applying what you learn and developing those 10 problem-solving devices in your life. These three spiritual skills produce thought, and the application of thought is what you have to do. Thinking is what changes us, and courage is us thinking under pressure. Courage is us thinking under pressure. I know, and you know, our Heavenly Father is keenly aware of what we are facing. Since He allowed it to be manifested, He didn't create it, didn't cause it to harm us, but He allowed it to happen, and the question for us is why? Is the justice of God at work here? That's one of the questions you have to ask. What's God doing in this country? Is He dealing with some of us, all of us, for what reason? And it could be national discipline. It could be individual discipline. Could be many various things. That's between you and the Lord. You'll have to handle that yourself. But you know that He is aware of it. He allowed it to be manifested. He didn't create it to harm us, but He's using it for some reason in your life and in our nation and in the world. So our deliverance in these adverse circumstances can bring honor to God, because this is what's neat. Our Father does the possible when things look impossible. Our Father does the possible when things look impossible. But any one of us, any believer who panics in adverse circumstances can alter the way we think and the way we can come to conclusions. We can alter our thinking process completely because we get into emotions. And if we let our emotions control us, we operate on how we feel, not on how we think. We react, and we don't respond. So it's very easy to let your emotions take over. You may wake up in the middle of the night and be thinking about something and find yourself scared. If that's the case, confess the sin, rebound the sin immediately. It's a sin to be afraid. The Bible tells you that. So you just have to learn to control the way you think. Because if you panic in adverse circumstances, your process of thinking is changed and your security turns to doubt. Your peace turns to anger. And such things as the faith rest drill turns to you being agitated and angry with God. But if you cannot control your thinking in normal times, when things are normal, then you can bank on it. You're going to be an emotional hostage when a crisis hits like it is today. And many people are held up in their nation today, frightened out of their mind, scared to death. And it's definitely something to be scared of, I know that, but not to let it control your life. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, your focus in these days must be on Him and not on the pandemic. Your focus must be on His promises and not on the news and the constant, never-ending scare tactics perpetuated by the devil himself. Why? For the express purpose of distracting you from ever developing your spiritual life. I mean, you got to ask yourself a simple question, okay? It's not unreasonable to ask this question. Are you prepared to die? Are you? Do you have complete assurance of eternal life? Do you? Do you know, in other words, if you were to contract this virus and die, Do you know that you would go to heaven? People die every day, not from the virus, but from many other things as well. But this seems to be the one thing that's frightening people to death. If you face death, are you prepared? And do you have the assurance that you would have eternal life? You should. The Bible says you can. The Bible says this is the record God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. That's the truth. That's from the Bible. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I give unto them eternal life, and they'll never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So if I die, if you die, and we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know, we are guaranteed, we are confident that we will be resurrected, we will have a resurrection body, and we will live with our Lord forever. That's something you must understand. If you don't, then you'll be intimidated by the enemy and afraid all of your life. Is your soul more important than your body? There's another question I want to ask you today. Is your soul more important than your body? Remember, you're made up of three things, a body, a soul, and a spirit. The body goes back into the ground. The soul and the spirit live forever in a new body, in a resurrection body. That's what we're taught in the scriptures. So I have to ask you, is your soul more important than your body? Listen to what the Apostle Paul said about that very question. He said, whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted them as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of everything, and count all of these things that I had but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and that I may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, you know, Mr. Goody Two-Shoes, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God, on the basis of faith, that I may know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed even to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, and not that I've already attained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ. Brethren, excuse me. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and I reach forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Whatever things were gained, count it as loss. In other words, the most important thing to him was his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which comes from the law, but that which comes through faith, that I may know him, I may know the power of his resurrection. That's the most important thing in your life, your soul. The strength of your soul is much more important than the strength of your body. If you're one of these people that has the crisis personality that I'm talking about, I welcome you. I would like to know you. I'd like to spend time around you because that's very important. It's one of the most important things you could ever do. See, a person with a crisis personality can think under pressure. He can think under pressure. I always tell football players, winners execute and losers emote. They can't think under pressure. If you're going to be a winner, you got to think and execute. And secondly, you have to understand that the crisis personality demonstrates leadership in a crisis. How? Well, they have a relaxed mental attitude. They have confident expectations. They have an infectious confidence and security in the middle of the storm. They attract people to them because they're like a light at night. That crisis personality is an attractive person that you want to be around. This type of person has a personal sense of destiny. That's a problem-solving device. Number six, it means they have all the right priorities, and this allows good decisions, not only in normal times, but in times of crisis as well. I mean, Daniel did this in captivity with Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah did it in his ministry. Moses was a crisis personality at the Red Sea, Joshua at Jericho, and you during the COVID-19 panic in this country. In 1 Thessalonians 3:3, Paul writes to the apostles in Thessalonica, and he commends them for their steadfastness in face of the persecutions they were facing and things that he received. See, while he was in their city, he was opposed by hired troublemakers, and their objective was to get rid of him. They didn't want him in town stirring up trouble in the synagogue. Well, he had to find a place to stay, so he stayed with a man named Jason, who was later arrested. And so Paul moved on, but later sent Timothy back to check on his converts, because they also were being persecuted. And his main concern was that they would lose their spiritual balance, that they would lose their spiritual stability as a result of the trials they were facing there in Thessalonica. So here's what he wrote. Listen very carefully to what he wrote. He said that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for you yourself know that we are appointed unto them. The Greek word for moved is an interesting word. It really is. The Greek word for moved is saino, S-A-I-N-O. And it means to wag the tail of a dog one way, but it's a metaphor for meaning to be disturbed or be rearranged or be unnerved, much like the topography of the earth after an earthquake. You know, if you ever go through an earthquake, the earth can be totally rearranged. And what used to be a lake may not be a lake anymore. What used to be a road may not be a road anymore. It may all be rearranged. It may all be gone. So we need to understand it's easy to get emotional under extreme adversity since we go into this self-survival mode. But the issue for us, me and you, is can we handle this crisis, or will we seek out the advice of others, which only going to give you human viewpoint thinking? I mean, you cannot believe all the videos going around on social media now. What does this doctor say? What does that doctor say? What is this one? How should you care for your food? How should you care for your mail? How should you care for yourself? How could you care for your spouse? I mean, the issue is be healthy, yes, and nothing wrong with that. But the issue is how are we going to handle this? How will we handle it? Seeking advice from others or going to the Word of God for our comfort? That's the question I have to ask you this morning. Can you focus on God's grace provisions for your life? Can you do that? Because your faith is your invisible muscle. And your faith is built on conviction. If you don't have any conviction, you don't have trust, and you don't have confidence, and you certainly don't have any spiritual stamina. That's what you have to have. You have to have faith. Muscle, invisible muscle built on conviction, demonstrating your trust and your confidence and spiritual stamina in God's plan for your life. So the Bible tells us that faith is the power that we need to overcome the distractions in the cosmic system. Faith, that's what we need. In 1 John 5:4-5, the Bible says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Your faith is the victory to overcome any crisis in your life. And the very first crisis you ever faced, is this: he who believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, and he who believes not, the wrath of God abides on him already. The wrath of God is your first crisis. If you reject the free gift of eternal life that God gives you through Jesus Christ, you will face eternity in the lake of fire. That's a crisis. You have to decide. Do I want to make that decision to trust in Christ alone, faith alone in Christ alone? Do I believe he's the Son of God? Do I believe he died for me? Do I put my faith and confidence in his finished work on the cross? Or like Paul warned against, do I try to manufacture my own righteousness? Because the Bible tells us there are none that are righteous. No, not even one. All of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. And you don't even want me to tell you what that word is in the Hebrew. It's nasty. So you cannot conjure up anything in your life that's going to make God deal out a good deal for you because you were a nice guy. Doesn't happen that way. Only through Jesus Christ can the righteousness of God be satisfied. That's why it says, He who knew no sin was made sin for us, so we could be made the righteousness of God through Him. Through Christ. That's your first crisis. What do you think of Christ? Now, if we're talking about believers that have a crisis personality in this time of the storm in our country, you demonstrate how to overcome the fears of the cosmic system. You use the faith rest drill. You stand tall. You stay firm. God will deliver you, I promise. He will. While you're homebound, let me make one other suggestion to you. I normally wouldn't do this, but I want to do this. I want to suggest you get to your computer and you type in the search engine, Beraka.org. Beraka.org. Beraka.ah. Beraka.org. That's a local church in Houston, Texas, my local church. Once you're there, Beraka.org, go to the updates and watch my pastor, Bobby Thiem, teach God's word to an empty congregation. His messages are encouraging, his messages are informative, and they're in detail, and I listen every day. If you will go there, if you will click on that update and click on those messages, there you will find many other studies that are available on DVD free of charge if you wish to study. But that's my first recommendation for you to build a crisis personality. Get under a well-qualified pastor who can teach you God's Word. And our pastor, Bobby, is now teaching Psalm 7. It's encouraging, and you will see how the justice of God is dealing with us today. All right. Thank you for listening to The Flatline. This is Rick Hughes. See you next week. Same time, same place.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.